Welcome to Local Talk, where we talk about the people, the stories, and the events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with my co-host,
Don Wirth. Today we're going to be visiting South Hamilton County and visiting the small town of Randall, Iowa. Also in the program, we'll be talking about an exhibit coming up here in Ames this week. Randall was visited by one of our reporters, Debbie Bunka, who found out the stories about Randall, the people, and some of the activities that are going on there. So, Debbie, can you tell us a little bit about Randall?
Well, Randall's a small town of 150 people located about 15 miles north of Ames on Highway 69 and about a mile and a half from Interstate 35. It's a beautiful little town surrounded by cornfields, and when you first sort of come up upon it, you'll notice the very tall looming grain elevators, and you'll likely hear that too. It has a distinctive hum, and that kind of forms the soundtrack to the town. I had a chance to go out and walk the streets and talk with the locals, and here's a little bit of what they had to say about their town.
It's just so damn small. It's a blink.
So what's the thing you like best about Randall?
You've got pretty honest people, I believe, here, a small town. I mean, we don't have the businesses like we used to. Well, it's a good community.
It's a family-owned business, and it just, we have a group of lumberyards that this is where it started, and my father-in-law ran this for years, and he passed away, and I was in another one of the facilities, and I came up here.
So do you do enough business here to keep it going?
Just, I mean, my town, I can do whatever I want. You know, our Main Street, if you want to park your semi in the middle of Main Street, unload it. Park in the middle of Main Street, unload it. It's kind of do what you want to do. But it's a nice community, don't get me wrong, but it's because we don't have a gas station, we don't have a convenience store, we don't have a bar, we don't have a restaurant, we don't have a lot of those things where I'm kind of in the mood for a beer. Refrigerator's empty. I guess I can go uptown and have one. Oh, I guess we don't have one.
I lived here all my life. Nice people that live here, like most small communities, they're dying away. We don't have the businesses like we used to. That's too bad. But you can't compete with the bigger corporations either. We lost our school.
And what brought you here in the first place? Were you born here?
I was born, yeah.
So what brought your parents here?
They were born just east of Randall, and this is where they stayed. And my grandparents came from Norway.
Hi. I wonder if you would mind talking about just about the town of Randall in general.
I tell you, the person really to talk to would be Ellis Anderson.
So, that's the people of Randall and some of their thoughts about their community. And we heard them talking about an interesting individual named Ellis Anderson. And I think, Debbie, you had a chance to talk with Ellis about Randall and what's happening there. And
well, Ellis is one of the founding movers behind the Ragtime in Randall Festival that occurs in Randall every October. And they're on their 25th anniversary this year. And Ellis is definitely the heart and soul of that festival. He's a musician. He's does everything in the town. He's the part-time postman. He's everything. You heard people say, talk to Ellis. That's what we did. Talking with Ellis Anderson, Randall's resident ragtimist. He's played ragtime piano in many Ragtime and Randall festivals. He was the previous president of the Randall Fine Arts Council and directs the senior choir at Elam Lutheran Church in Randall. And you're the relief clerk at the post office, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Wow, that's a lot to do.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the history of Ragtime in Randall. If you could tell me a bit about how it got started.
In 1987, Bob McNutt had gone to Minneapolis and studied piano tuning and piano repair, and he and his partner were living in Clarion. His partner did all the woodwork on the pianos, redoing them. They were living in Clarion, but Bob was working for Critchett Piano Company in Des Moines as a tuner and technician. And one day when he was driving home, he was thought, Randall, I've never been through Randall, and it's about halfway between Clarion and Des Moines. We'll see what Randall is like. He had just never been to Randall and never, had driven by, and we are a mile off the interstate. And so he drove through. Unfortunately, he drove through the whole town and didn't realize that it was Randall. And he got out to Highway 69, and he thought, well, this has got to stop. So he looked back, and he could see, grain elevators. I'm from Belmont. If there's grain elevators, there's a town there. So he went back and went up to the grain elevators and then was driving down Main Street, looking around. And there, about two blocks from the one block business district, a gorgeous, old, big Victorian home with a big for sale sign on the front lawn. And within the week, he had bought the house. So he and his partner, Joel Yushta, came to Randall, and this was in 1987. Got into the house and realized that the first thing they were going to have to do was reinforce the floors, because they had about seven grand pianos that were going to be in the house. Yeah, and it was made all the difference in town. They started having little concerts at the house. They'd open the windows and people would come into the house, and when the house got full, they'd take their chairs and sit on the lawn and listen to the concerts. Well, and then in October, they decided that they were going to show their appreciation of the response that they had received here in Randall, and so they had organized the first Ragtime in Randall. This was at the Randall Gym in 1987.
Why Ragtime?
Bob was very much a Ragtime buff. Loved to play it. Always when he tuned a piano, when he was checking it, he played Maple Leaf Rag. For myself, I played in the first concert, but only one song.
Do you remember what song it was?
I remember what song it was, indeed. It was The Stars and Stripes Forever. Well, we had four people that were playing in the concert, and then there were two more that came in, myself and Cindy Carruth. So that there were six people playing the three grand pianos and making up our arrangement of Stars and Stripes Forever. And it was amazing. Luckily, I do have a tape of that. Uptown, too bad. And then later, they were getting too big for the house. Well, Uptown, Dick Tegland and his wife, Virginia, Dick had been had the hardware store uptown, but he was retired now, so the building was open. And he decided, well, I think I'm going to try to sell it. Well, Bob thought, okay, that's going to be our next studio. So they went up there, and yes, there would be wonderful room for them. So they remade that into their second studio. They had Interiors on Main from Ames do the decorating with crystal chandeliers, Persian rugs, and then it had the tin ceiling. The whole bit, it was gorgeous, just gorgeous. In the back part, they could do their technical work and then use the front part as their showroom.
So they were piano craftsmen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Bob was one of the finest piano tuners and technicians I have ever known.
What was Randall like before the ragtime and Randall started? Was it a cultural oasis?
The area right around Randall and in southern Hamilton County, wonderful musicians, a long history of it. There was a built-in audience for them, though we had a very, very good crowd. Well, Bob was, you know, going out tuning and telling everybody about it and all his customers and bring friends. And another thing with Bob, there would be a free will offering. He said, I don't want anyone to feel like they don't have enough money to come to the concert.
So you were called a ragtimist. That's how you're referred to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In what exactly is a ragtimist?
I play, I study, I talk about it, I, you know, live and breathe it. I always say there's all these stages. First it's a curiosity, and then it becomes an interest, and then it becomes, really, I kind of enjoy playing this. And then it becomes an obsession.
Other than the days on which the Ragtime and Randall occurs, the festival, can you go to Randall and find out things about Ragtime?
We have several concerts during the year. The Ragtime in Randall is always in the fall. In the spring, both the Ames Chamber Artists and the Ames Children's Choir are there for concerts. In July, we do our Sunday Best, which is the last Sunday in July. And at that time, the commercial club in town has a grilled chicken and sweet corn dinner. And we decided, okay, let's do a concert then. And then,
so it's a place to go at almost any time of the year to find music.
Oh, yes.
It really is, yeah, a place that embraces music.
The church choir is very, very good. Excellent choirs in the area, in all of the schools. All these little towns, there's a great music tradition in the area.
So tell me one reason that everybody should head to Randall in the next week and a half. Why should they go?
They should be there for the 25th anniversary of Ragtime in Randall, which is coming up October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And the first concert will be honoring Bob McNutt. Joyce Lewis we call her the Ragtime Chanteuse.
Ah.
And her big number, from the first time that she did it until she retired, end of quote, was Lime Jello Marshmallow Cottage Cheese Surprise. Are you familiar with that? It is amazing. Ladies, the minutes will soon be read today. The garden club and weaving class, I'm sure, have much to say. But next week is our culture night, our biggest, best event, and I've just made a dish for it you'll all find heaven sent. It's my wild lime jello marshmallow cottage cheese surprise with slices of pimento. You won't believe your eyes. All topped with a pineapple ring and a dash of mayonnaise. My vanilla wafers round the edge will win your highest praise.
So, Debbie, it sounds like Ellis really is kind of the heart and soul of the Ragtime Festival in Randall.
He certainly is. He's got the history inside of him. He's happy to share it. He's a big booster of Randall and a big booster of music, and it was really, you know, an honor to be able to speak with him.
But an event like that takes more than one person to pull it off.
Well, if Ellis is the heart, then Marcy is the driving force and spirit. And it's Marcy Osmondson, who has been a teacher for 56 years, is a musician herself and just a general go-getter. And she has a cultural vision that she is sharing through Ragtime and Randall, and was a great opportunity to speak with her as well. We're talking with Marcy Osmondson, president of the Randall Area Fine Arts Council and a primary organizer of the festival. She's also been a teacher for 56 years, a professor, and is the driving force behind the festival. We're really happy to have her here today with us. Hi, Marcy.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Can you tell us a bit about how you came to be involved in the creation of this festival? Your husband's death was untimely.
It was one of those things. He had a reoccurrence of cancer, and it was very, very rapid, 6 months. And so I was still teaching, both at the university and public school system, and it was just this huge void. You don't realize that you're two and all of a sudden you're not, but they're still with you. And so I just thought, now what am I going to do? I'm going to get into the arts more. I'm going to promote young artists more even than I ever have. And then in this gentleman came.
You're speaking of Bob McNutt?
Uh-huh. Bob McNutt, the founder, who's just amazing. And he didn't live 6 years. And he did all of this. And so I started going as soon as this happened. And I took my mother and aunt and people and encouraged, and we were in the gym. And I've never missed a festival yet. So that's how it all got involved with me. And I've just had a ball.
Great. So you weren't one of the organizers of the first festival, but when you saw what was going on, the impetus was to become involved?
Yes, because I've always been into the arts, and I felt it's the only way to teach. So it really filled the void for me, and I could take these people, and I could do this. And then as time went on, I've always been one to showcase young artists. I said to my mother, have I always written? Have I always acted? She said, Marceline, which is my real name, she said, I never, of all of our five children, had anyone who was so active before they came into the world. And I thought that was a compliment. So from there on out, I've just really given my whole life to showcasing people so they can have the opportunity that I had. So I found out that it is a way to teach and that we're all different and we don't all have to do the blanket program.
We are going to play a piece by Brian Keenan from his album River Bluffs, which is inspired by sites along the Mississippi River.
Brian is one of my favorites, and he comes every year. He composes every year he comes. He has a new book. Yes, he is just incredible. He's one of my favorite people. Thank you.
It is ragtime, and yet it's a genre called terra verdi, which is a new genre influenced by Latin music. And is that something, is ragtime and Randall for purists, or is it for purists?
Not really, you know, and I'm learning that with our new guest artist. One of my former people from Radcliffe recommended Reginald to me, and I had not heard him. And once you hear him and read about him, that's part of what he says, that he's not there, and he had how he came into this, and he's going to stay 3 nights.
Reginald Robinson, who is the guest artist at the festival this year, a pianist. He is the recipient of a MacArthur Genius Grant. His music has played on TV as well as stage. About Reginald's music.
From what I understand, his fingers just fly along. He had to make up his own music. He had to do all of these things and study him. And now he's giving back so much to the schools, to different places around the world, and has never lost that humility that he had. So I'm very anxious. And when he said he would stay all 3 nights, I was just thrilled.
That's pretty amazing. Is he doing seminars?
Yes. We always require that of our artist. And looking forward to that. And then he will be there for the young artists and we'll do a master class with them, which will be really, really exciting.
And by young artists, we mean musicians in training, students.
Yes, yes. The student, these would be like I started out with one of my friends who's been a music teacher for years. And then we just started having them and they come and they play their own little ragtime, usually dress up and they're so proud and do a beautiful job. And then after that, on Friday night, is when we do the reminiscing of all that we've done so far, have a kickoff, and we have a wonderful renovated gymnasium and stage with brand new curtains. So we're looking forward to it. And then Rod Bianson's ragtime band will play, and then the people learn how to do ragtime dancing, and then they just dance the rest of that night and jam. Saturday will be Roger Berger and Bob Leon have come up with what I think is going to be a real different touch and approach on the seminar. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, it'll be Reginald. And we have no idea what he'll do, but they say it'll be fantastic. After that, then it's our little young artists. So during that afternoon time, it'll be young artists. And we even have a young artist, which I call still young artist, and has his master's. And he's a former student of mine and was a prodigy as a young kid and would write with no music around him, no piano. And he is writing his first ragtime, which he's never played before, and we'll present that after the young artists.
And his name?
Paul Hertz.
And can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with Paul?
Paul and I met when he was a very young child. His dad had always said, Mrs. O, he said, when Paul comes along, he will be in your class. And so we became acquainted, and then he was killed on the way to Paul's 10th birthday party. And so from there on out, we've just really grown together. And when he, like I said, that first 2 weeks, we always would sit in a circle and get acquainted and not really look at books as far as textbooks. And I would see him sitting there as I wandered around, and he was sitting there with his leg up, and he was writing. And he had this huge book. And I went over finally, and I said, Paul, I said, you're composing? And he finished what he was doing. He kind of looked at me and puzzled, and he said, yes. And I said, what are you writing today? And it was a sonatina. The next day it was an etude. And this was going to be my last year of teaching. I decided I was going to move on to the other levels. And so he sat there, and I said, you know, I said, when I write, I said, of course, I can't compose like you do. And I think he said something like, "Have you tried?" But anyway, it was really wonderful because I sat there and I said, you know, I can make write trios and make the music so our trio can sing together, a quartet, but I need to be by piano. And he sat there and was finished what he was doing, and he kind of looked up to me and he said, "I hear it, Mrs. Holm." And I thought, oh my, this is a prodigy. So I immediately talked to his parent, his mother, and said, we need to move him on to higher levels. So we became really, really close. In fact, we became family. So for him to come up to me and say, you know, Mrs. Summer, I'm going to write a rag. All of this different genre and things coming up have just been a dream come true. And my actual goal is to make Randall, Iowa a tourist attraction. That Bob McNutt was incredible. He will be honored, of course, more than everyone, and then we're going to have a picture of his first two studios. And to think that he looked at the odometer, that he was on his way to Clarion, and it was halfway, and he turned off and said, Randall, Iowa. And he ended up at Highway 69 and thought, boy, that wasn't very long. I didn't see any buildings or whatever. So he turned around and turned by the co-op and found Randall. But it's just, I don't know, there's something about the arts, I guess, something I am frequently quoted for. We need to have a balance in life, and the arts are lifelong with no permanent injuries. And so that's one of my motivational punches.
You've kind of grown with the festival as well. What changes have you seen over time, and where do you envision it going?
It's beyond anything I've imagined, because I always taught and all the students were involved, as I said earlier. And now it's the communities. It has made me realize, even more than my parents taught me, to give back and to share. And so I sit in the audience now, and by the time they put on shows, they didn't need a thing from me. It's really made me realize that I think Ragtime and Randall, little Randall, is going to be famous and remembered forever. And I even am writing a grant and hoping to make it so there's a Main Street and they'll have some kind of a festival every year. Because we're moving farther into Hamilton County with musical groups. And Hamilton County is, I've never seen anything like it. It's small, 9 towns. And they have meetings, have a representative from all 9 towns. And they promote the arts like you've never seen in your life. Their buildings that they built years ago were made beyond what most of us dream of. So I'm really looking forward to that.
The Ragtime in Randall theme song, written by Nan Bostick, came about. She is the grandniece of the fellow who first published Scott Joplin's music. So there's a little history there.
That was really exciting because when Nan came, you know, we never knew her, but she was dynamite. And she went into the schools. We would go there and work with the students, and now they're all invited back to come to our festival also. Really brings the best out of all of us, because we aren't in competition constantly. You know, it's something. My mother was one of those in the Midwest who could play music sight read like no one I've ever seen to this day, and it's amazing. I know she was one of those that was playing that saloon music back when she wasn't practicing her music for church, because she was the organist all those years, and she only had 11 lessons. And what I did before I graduated, I was so inspired by my family, and we had a trio, a cappella, and the other one sang country music and chorded and played. And my dad, I said, "Now, Dad, what do you do?" And he says, "I am in the audience, which is the most important part of the whole thing." So we had that support of the whole family. And I don't know. I just feel so blessed that I had this opportunity and that I could do it with children, and now I'm doing it with other people.
Well, we thank Marcy Osmondson for coming in today. And again, that Ragtime and Randall Festival is October 5th to 7th in Randall, Iowa. Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you so much. This was wonderful, Debbie.
So Marcy Osmondson is really an important cultural force in Hamilton County. I know she also is active up in Webster City, and she herself actually lives in Story City. That's correct?
That's correct, and she has a vision of Ragtime and Randall spreading to 9 other towns in the area, so she's a force to be reckoned with.
Now, in order to do that, she's going to need some assistants and some musicians and some younger people to carry on the tradition. And next, Debbie talked with one of those people who will help carry on the Ragtime and Randall tradition.
Musician Paul Hertz was a student of Marcy's, and you heard her describe their relationship. It's mentor, mentee. It's mother's son, grandmother's son. She describes it many different ways, but he is the future of Ragtime and Randall. And this year he's debuting a piece that he's written expressly for the festival, and it combines ragtime with classical, which is the way a number of musicians are moving to combine ragtime with other genres to bring it into the future. Hertz is a local musician, and he's been involved with Ragtime and Randall for a few years now. In fact, this year he will be debuting a special piece written for the festival, and that will be on Saturday, October 6th at about 3?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to know how you came to be involved with the festival.
My sixth grade teacher was Marcy Osmondson, who has been involved with the festival for most of its existence, if not all. And I heard about it first through her and got involved in a lot of musical activities through her. I didn't really participate in the festival until really this year. Got to go to it a few years.
You play a number of musical instruments here. We've seen you perform at the farmers market here in Ames, and you're with the band Mumfords, which is very popular, of course. How many musical instruments do you play?
I usually list it as piano, trombone, and organ, but I also sing.
And you are from Ames originally. You've lived in Nevada, so you're truly local talent. What inspired you to create a piece of music for the festival?
Well, originally Marcy invited me to. It seemed like a good opportunity.
Is the piece a rag?
It is, for an appropriately broad definition of rag.
Okay, sort of some more modern influence?
More modern, maybe more classically influenced than your average rag, a bit less predictable.
Are you nervous to debut it?
A little.
Yeah? You've played a lot of venues and still have nerves?
I do a lot of playing, but I don't actually compose music that regularly, maybe a few times a year.
So this is a big deal for you personally?
It is.
You do, this year in particular, you said it's your first year being really involved. You're involved in a number of aspects, doing some promotion, programming, website stuff. What makes you want to be involved in Randall, of all places? That's a little ways away from where we are. And besides, is it your connection to Marcy, or what is it, if you could tell me?
It's definitely my connection to Marcy. but also just supporting a variety of local musical events in the greater Story County area. Randall, in fact, is in Hamilton County. And wanting to diversity of musical genres alive there. And it's just a long-running thing which a lot of people have enjoyed over the years.
So love of music and willingness to support other artists in the area?
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like us to know about the event or about music in Story County, you know, other regions in central Iowa?
Well, the big thing this year for Ragtime in Randall is featured guest artist Reginald Robinson won a MacArthur Genius Award. He's a Chicago-based ragtime and jazz composer and performer. There's a number of other events throughout the year that the Randall Area Fine Arts Council puts on. You can see their website, ragtimeinrandall.org, that they bring many Ames and Des Moines-based groups up to perform, and they are bringing in more and more Hamilton County groups as well.
Mr. Robinson, are you familiar with his music?
I really am not. I've read about it, but I haven't heard much of it.
But he will be the center, the guest artist at the festival.
He will. I believe he will have two recitals devoted solely to his music during the festival on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And he will be doing a masterclass for young artists on Saturday afternoon and also giving some sort of presentation on Saturday morning.
So do you see yourself at some point giving classes, doing a seminar at the festival?
It's possible, but right now I see myself as wanting to stay involved in many genres at once.
Thank you for talking with us today. That was Paul Hertz, local musician who will be debuting a special piece at the Ragtime in Randall Festival October 6th.
Thank you.
we've been talking about Randall and ragtime in Randall. That's during this part of the show. Ragtime in Randall will be October 5th through the 7th. You can find out about the times, performers, and more information at www.ragtimeinrandall.org. Now we're going to take a different course and talk about an exhibit that's opening here in Ames.
KHOI reporter Ben Beloit spoke with the Unitarian Fellowship about an upcoming exhibit about voting.
This is Benjamin Beloit for KHOI. I've got a couple of volunteers here from the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Ames. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Dennis Dake. I'm chair of the Art Exhibition Committee at the Unitarian Fellowship.
My name's Bob Anders. I am a member of the fellowship, and I'm also a curator of an upcoming exhibit that we're going to discuss today.
Yes, you volunteer and help out with the Gallery in the Round. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Gallery in the Round is the name we give to our art exhibition program. We bill ourselves as a community-based professional art gallery, and we're associated with the Ames Community Arts Council. And we try to give local artists, particularly Ames artists, but also ones in central Iowa, a chance to exhibit their work, professional setting with a professional hanging system and security provided by the employees of the fellowship who are there to watch over things. We have a sort of dual purpose. We were started in the late 80s as a way to complement the musical program within the Sunday services and within the fellowship program, and provide for the visual arts an opportunity to share what we consider sort of the spiritual dimensions of aesthetics. And we also try to cover some of the ethical and liberal religious ideals of the fellowship, concerned with social issues and things of that nature. So we try to have a variety of diverse experiences for the fellowship members and for people who rent and utilize our space during the week.
Do you have a hand in picking the new exhibit, and what are the criteria for that?
Yeah, the criteria are just equality primarily. We like to keep the professional level high, although we try to get both professional artists and amateur and high-quality amateurs from the local community who have a record of exhibiting their work. We look for inventiveness, the complexity of their ideas, and
Bob, tell us a little bit about your volunteering.
Well, I've been on the art committee for some time. I've curated several exhibits in the past, and I will say, as a member of the organization of the fellowship, it's delightful for me to come into a service and see this amazing display of talent.
The gallery's upcoming exhibit is called First in the Nation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, First in the Nation, in my view, is probably one of the more timely exhibits that we're putting on. This exhibit actually is housed at Grandview University in Des Moines. Doug Wells is a journalism photographer, and he teaches journalism, media, and photography at Grandview University. That university houses this entire exhibition. Totally, there are, I believe, 90 photographs. And as the name implies, First in the Nation is the Iowa caucus. These photographs go back 20 or 30 years. Some of them are by Pulitzer Prize-winning artists, photographers. The variety of images that you'll see in this exhibit go from candidates on the stump to amazing photographs of old-time township halls where people go to vote. There are photographs of caucus meetings where the chairman of the caucus is rallying the troops and tallying the votes and so on. This is this exhibit, just in a nutshell, shows what the Iowa caucus is all about.
What do you think are a few of the more compelling photographs that you've seen in this exhibit?
Well, the exhibit crosses all party lines, and the exhibit is an interesting mix of candidates on the stump, whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's at the fair, whether it's on a street corner. There are also very fascinating candid photographs of the candidates maybe speaking with one another and so on. There's one here that it's making his point. It's going to be in the exhibit, and this is Tom Harkin speaking with another candidate. Down on eye level is a photograph of John Kerry sitting on the floor talking to a teacher and a young student. And the famous Dean Scream is also going to be seen in this exhibit, which is, I don't know if it's compelling, it's very famous. So you'll see candidates from all sides of the aisle. You'll see very interesting juxtapositions between candidates and community members. And you'll also see the internal workings of the caucus, which include the infamous pie auction.
Oh, yeah, the pie auction? Tell us about that.
Well, any people who have participated in caucus work or committee work for all parties know that fundraising is a critical element. This is not a caucus function, but it's a function of fundraising, and the pie auction is always something that's great fun.
How about you, Dennis? Any photographs seem particularly striking to you?
Well, I think one very timely one is the one that Bob has here of Mitt Romney on an earlier run for the presidency, working behind the soda fountain, making apparently a milkshake.
Yeah, so, he seems like he's enjoying himself at that job.
Right. And then there's a picture of Mike Huckabee with an Elvis impersonator on stage playing his guitar.
Tell us about other upcoming exhibits in the gallery in the round. I suspect some may wish to mark their calendars.
We have quite a variety of exhibits. We've just accepted six more, taking us well into 2014. So we've had a lot of success in rounding up future exhibits. The one following First in the Nation will be Digital Photo Fabrics by Carol Faber, who is a professor up at Iowa State. And that'll be followed by something quite different, Pictures of the Heavens, Astrophotography by a doctor from Marshalltown who bills himself as Sky Doc. After that will be a landscape watercolor artist, a photographer. We have a young artist in the spring, Charlotte Redman, who hasn't had one-woman shows before. She's exhibited down in the Des Moines area, but this will be her first venture up here in the Ames area.
Exciting step.
And we're looking forward to that. Some of the new ones, we have a quilt exhibit by the Des Moines Modern Quilt Guild. We have several people associated with the campus who are going to be exhibiting, even though that's not their regular job. And we have an older graduate student from Grandview College who's been out in the world as a rather famous illustrator and is now back getting an art degree, and his work will be coming up then later next fall. So we're scheduled quite a ways out, but we're always looking for artists, young and old, who would like to have a nice exhibit. And as one of our offers to them is that if they exhibit with us, they can have the building's use so they can invite people and get to meet their public and people who collect their work and meet some new people and perhaps even sell a few things.
That's excellent.
What's the duration of these exhibits?
Well, our exhibits generally run about 6 weeks. This one opens October 6th through November 17th. And just so you know, the gallery is located at the Unitarian Fellowship, which is on Highland Avenue, 1015 Highland. That's a north-south street that runs parallel west of the university. The gallery is generally open from 1 to 5, Monday through Friday. Or if you're interested in an appointment, if you have a group you want to bring in, you can call the fellowship and make an appointment to have us open for you.
Well, there's no surplus of good venues for local artists, so hats off to the UUFA. And Bob Anders and Dennis Dake, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Glad to get our word out.
Recap, we were talking about Ragtime in Randall, which is coming up October 5th to the 7th. Information, www.ragtimeinrandall.org. And we talked with the Unitarian Church about a voting exhibit.
Volunteer KHOI reporter Ben Beloit interviewed Bob Anders and Dennis Drake from the Gallery in the Round about an exhibit opening October 6th and running through November 17th. The exhibit is First in the Nation, Historic Photographs of the Iowa Caucuses.
The gallery is at 115 Highland Avenue in Ames and is open 1 to 5 Monday through Friday or by appointment. For information, go to uufames.org. That's uufames.org. Debbie Bunko was the KHOI volunteer reporter who covered Ragtime in Randall, and she spoke with Ellis Anderson, Marcy Osmondson, and Paul Hertz. Debbie, could you tell us what music we've been listening to during the show?
Okay, the music you heard today was Stars and Stripes Forever, performed by Ellis Anderson, Bob Lean, and four other pianists. It was played at the very first Ragtime and Randall Festival 25 years ago. River Bluffs was composed and performed by Brian Keenan from his CD River Bluffs. The Ragtime and Randall Rag was composed and performed by Nan Bostick from her CD Missing You at the McCoys. Maple Leaf Rag, performed by Brian Keenan on his CD Traditions. And a Ragtime Jamboree, written in 1997 and performed by the festival special guest artist Reginald Robinson.
And the theme music for Local Talk is from our own Al Harris and Tom Richards. It's Backtrackin' from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Thank you for being with us today, Debbie, and telling us about Ragtime in Randall and the city of Randall.
You're welcome.
This has been Local Talk on KHOI, where we look at the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. Thank you for listening. And see you again on the radio.